When Pastor Allen called me the other day and was asking me if I could fill in, these verses came to mind. Faith and I use these verses quite often with our ministry as we travel and speak about sex abuse and domestic violence. Jesus is talking here in Matthew 11, and let's go down to verses 28 to 30. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, Jesus said that almost 2,000 years ago. It's pretty incredible to contemplate that it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus' public ministry. And our world is obviously a lot different today. Technology, you know, cars, all that kind of stuff, didn't have it back then. But there are so many things about life that are just the same as they were back then. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. When life hurts the most, pain, suffering, whether you've gone through sexual abuse or maybe you've gone through domestic violence, maybe you've gone through divorce, maybe you've got kids that have passed away, you've had tremendous loss, maybe somebody in your family has an addiction, maybe somebody in your family has gone to prison. I mean, all of this brokenness impacts us today, just like it impacted folks in Jesus' day. Rome was a corrupt government, powerful government, brutal government, especially to the people that they had conquered. The Jews were suffering much in Jesus' day under Rome's domination. But we see corruption today, right? We see corruption in government. We see corruption even in our churches. We've got, with our ministry that deals with abuse, there's one particular news feed that I get that literally almost every day there is a new pastor that's been arrested for sexual abuse, a new youth leader that's been arrested for sexual abuse, a new church leader. Almost every day there's somebody new. We live in a broken world filled with a lot of pain. Suicide rates are high, especially different parts of the country with different ethnic groups, suicide rates even higher. There's a tremendous amount of brokenness. So this invitation that Jesus gives, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Now, the image of heavy laden is a burro or a donkey in Jesus' day with a heavy load. Now, they can carry a lot, but it's also possible to overload them. I remember one time when I had my first church, I worked full-time as a carpenter as well as I had the first church. And I had done a garage for somebody, and all I was driving was a little Ford Escort. And I had a bunch of 2x4s and stuff left over from the job. And I had this little rinky-dink roof rack on top of the car. And I piled everything on that. And thought, well, I can do it. It'll get me there. And I started down the road, and I hit a little pothole. And the roof racks just kind of collapsed. And everything was sitting on the roof of the car in the middle of Cortland. And I'm like, this isn't a good situation. I had it tied together so it didn't all like fall off the car. So I had to very slowly nurse it back to the spot, unload everything. I had overloaded it. You know, let's just be honest. There are times in life when we're overloaded. Pain, suffering, brokenness, sometimes stuff that's going on in our life. But the thing with parents, as you get older, you got parents and your grandparents. You carry all the burdens of your kids. You carry the burdens of your grandkids, your family members. And there are many times in life when we're overloaded and overwhelmed. We hear a lot about anxiety, our young people, battling anxiety, social anxiety. Don't want to be out in public. They have a hard time keeping a job because they have so much social anxiety. Satan has been very effective in attacking our families, our churches, from one generation to the other. They actually have studies out that show that trauma can get passed on through our DNA. Trauma so impacts the body, and they've done exhaustive studies on this. One of the largest studies they did was with Holocaust victims. And they did studies with their kids, and they did studies with their grandkids. And they do it in such a way that they can determine that that trauma has gotten passed from one generation to another, to another. And I think a lot of the brokenness that we see in our world today, whether it's gender confusion or, you know, whatever it is, depression, anxiety, I think it's accumulation of all of this stuff being passed on from one generation to another to another. But the answer is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. And that's Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, there's three things I want to look at this morning, three stories that are going to kind of bear that theme out. We're going to look at Job, we're going to look at Moses, we're going to look at Elijah just very quickly. And I'm going to give you my outline so you know where we're going. The first point I've got here underneath this, when life hurts the most, is this. When suffering is more than you can bear, trust God no matter what. When suffering is more than you can bear, trust God no matter what. When the burden is too heavy, remember God has a purpose in everything. When the burden is too heavy, remember God has a purpose in everything. When the journey is too hard, we need to see God for who He is. Now, the first one is talking about Job. When the suffering is more than we can bear. Let's go back to Job for just a minute. Chapter 3, verse 25. Now, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Job. It's interesting. God is in heaven. The angels come around. Satan comes in among them. And actually, God and Satan have a conversation, which is pretty fascinating to read about. God brings up the subject of Job to Satan, and Satan says, yeah, but it's because you're protecting him is why he's a godly man. You take away everything he has, and Satan says he'll curse you to your face. So Satan is very bold, even in the presence of God. That's going to change one day. Take away what he has, he'll curse you to your face. Chapter 1. And so God allows Satan to go out. He can't take his life. You can't touch him, but you can take his possessions. He lost all his possessions. And then after he'd lost all of his possessions, his kids, 10 children, were all together in one house for a celebration, and a storm came by, destroyed the house, killed everybody in the house. We just had tragic storms. Tornadoes ripped through our country, and dozens killed in those. It was that type of a storm killed all of his children in one day. And Job gets the news, and he stands, and he rents his clothes. Naked came I in this world, and naked am I going to leave. But Satan wasn't done yet. There's another conversation in Job chapter 2. And Satan says, well, take away his health and he'll curse you to your face. And so God allows him to take away his health, but he can't take his life. Listen, no matter what's happening to you, no matter what's going on in your life, God is still in control no matter what. The world's out of control. Our life sometimes seems out of control, but God still has us in the palm of his hand. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're in the palm of God's hand. And nothing can happen to you without his notice. And God will be with you to get you through those things. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or gets him through every single one of them. So Job is struggling with this. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, you notice what Job says here? For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me. There's a lot of things in life that we fear. When you're a parent, you're raising your children, they're in teenage years, they're learning how to drive. I remember our one daughter, had just got her license not long before that. And, you know, she was driving on the roads doing fine. But then winter comes, right? You're always terrified when the snow's on the road, how are the kids going to do on the road? And this one day, it was a Sunday, and Faith and I had gotten home, and our daughter was driving. It was snowing hard. There was 2 or 3 inches of slush on the roads. And I actually was out on the driveway because I knew our daughter would be coming shortly, and I'm kind of looking for her, and I'm looking for her. She didn't come. And to get a call on my phone, it's my daughter. So I answer the phone, and she's crying. So, okay, that's not a good sign. She's crying. She said she had an accident. So I get in the car, and I hurry down. Now, she didn't tell me this. She'd flipped the car. She slid off the road. The car rolled over. She was okay. She was out of the car when I got there. The police, ambulance hadn't got there yet, but thank God she was okay. But the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. We all fear stuff. Tragedies happen, and there are so many times when the suffering just seems like it's more than we can handle. And I know that there's people here. We had a small group in here, but there's all kinds of stories in here that we could talk about that you've gone through, the pains, the hurts, the suffering, and you can identify with Job. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Now listen, Job got so bad. He felt so bad that he eventually said, I wished I'd never been born. You know, there's kind of stages to that. Sometimes I wish I could die. You know, for believers, like, I just want to be in heaven. I want this life to just kind of be over with. Let's just get to heaven. If we could fast forward, if God would give us a fast forward button, right? Let's just get onto the rapture, get onto heaven, let's just go. Probably a lot of us would be pushing that fast forward button. But can you imagine getting so filled with despair that you actually go back and say, you know what, I wished I had never been born. Now, Job had a good life. He was one of the wealthiest men in all the East. He had 10 children. Life has been really good for him. But suffering is the kind of thing that comes in. It doesn't take that many bad things to take the joy out of all the good things. And that's where Job's at. He's like, I just wished I had never been born. But then there's these places in Job where it's finding a diamond in the mud. Go with me to Job chapter 13 for just a minute. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. This is one of those gems that in the middle of, you know, saying all these things, he's just so overwhelmed, so discouraged. He wished he'd never been born. He doesn't understand why God's putting him through this. And then he says this in Job 13, verse 15. He says, though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, our world's scary today, right? And we don't know what's going to happen. Chaos, violence, terrorism, wars. Bible said all that stuff's going to happen in the last days. We live in a pretty special place here in America. I mean, we've had a lot of security. There's always, you know, murders, violence, all that stuff's been going on. But overall, in our country, it's a pretty secure place to live. We have a lot of freedoms. There are countries around the world where there's a tremendous amount of suffering, persecutions, Christians being killed, Christians being imprisoned for sharing your faith, reading their Bible, just having a Bible. In some countries, you can be executed for that. So we've been in a pretty secure place. But we look at the world as a whole and kind of the direction it's going. We see all the chaos and all the violence, and it is overwhelming. But we have to always remember that no matter where we are, no matter what our suffering is that we're going through, we need to trust God no matter what. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's our hope. That's what we're hanging on to. That's what helps get us through all of this. Paul said, you know, that the trials that we go through in this life are nothing compared to what God has in store for us. And so that's what we hang on to. That's our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what suffering we're going through, trust God no matter what. The second thing I want you to think about with me, when the burden is too heavy, remember God has a purpose in everything. When the burden is too heavy, go back to Numbers with me, chapter 11 for a minute. Numbers chapter 11. This is a really neat story. God has raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And, you know, they've been to the Mount Sinai and they've had their struggles. They've had their ups and downs. They've had their scares. But God has been with them each step of the way. Chapter 11, we're going to start out with verse 10. But they run across an enemy and they're actually involved in battle. And Moses sends Joshua out to lead the battle, to fight. And Moses and Aaron and a guy named Hur head to the top of a mountain to overlook the battle scene. And as he's overlooking it, the battle, he noticed if he holds the rod of God up over his head, Joshua would prevail. Yet if he let it down, they would begin to lose. But his arms got heavy. You ever feel like in life, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's your job, your family, maybe it's ministry, whatever, you just feel like you're just getting really tired of just trying to hold things together. And Moses' arms would get so heavy that they would come down. And as they came down, they would begin to lose. And Aaron and Hur are standing there, and they notice that. So they actually come up beside of him. What a perfect example of what we can do for each other, what we need to do for each other. Is they came alongside and they actually helped hold up. They didn't take their rod from him and say, we'll hold it for you. They helped hold his arm steady so that he could keep that rod, that staff up, and they prevailed in the battle and a great victory. But he needed help. Every one of us, no matter how strong we might be or how strong we might seem, we need each other. And when the burden is too heavy, remember God's got a purpose in everything. He's there with us. This passage in Numbers 11, let's go ahead and read that. Now, this is another situation with Moses, but verse 10, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant, meaning me? You ever ask God a why question? Right? We ask God why questions all the time. You see it in the Bible. Moses is asking God a why question right here. Why have you afflicted me? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Now, I'm sure in Moses' mind, he's probably going back to the burning bush, right? And God says, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses is like, I can't do it. I'm not eloquent. I'm not a good speaker, whatever. I can't do it. God actually gets angry with him because Moses is like, I can't do it. So God sends Aaron to help him through that process, but he becomes a great leader. I'm sure in Moses' mind, he's probably going back to the burning bush and like, I told you so, God, I can't do this. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. Verse 14, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is what? It's too heavy for me. Well, the reality is you and I face situations often in life that are too heavy for us. It's okay to say to God, God, I can't do this. This is too hard for me. It's too heavy for me. We need to be honest with God. God will be there. God helps us, whether it's divine intervention, whether God brings somebody along to help us through a situation. Think back, because we probably all of us right now have things we're thinking of in our life as we talk about these things. And there's probably some people here thinking, I don't know if I can get through this. And I want you to think back in your life to other times and you thought, I don't think I can get through this. And yet somehow we did. Somehow God got us through those situations. He will get us through whatever it is that we're facing right now. Moses said, I can't do it. And then he says in verse 15, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. You talk about being honest with God? He knows what we're thinking anyways, right? Sometimes we just need to be honest with him. That's pretty blunt. Kill me right here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. So Moses feels like a failure as a leader because all the children of Israel are complaining. They don't have the meat and they don't have all the other things that they want to have. They're in a difficult time in the wilderness. God's providing manna and he's provided water, but it's still a struggle. Life is still hard. Listen, just because we're Christians doesn't mean life is easy. There's a lot of times in our life as Christians, it feels like we're going through the wilderness. And we think, man, I wished I had this, or I wished I had that, or life would be easier if this was true or that was true. We could all say that. But God got Moses and the children of Israel through this time. God can get you through as well. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those called according to his purpose, right? We've all heard that verse. You notice it doesn't say all things are good. It's all things work together for good. Whatever's happened in your life, listen, if you've gone through abuse in your life, sexual abuse, you've gone through domestic violence, those are not good things. That was not a part of God's plan for your life. Sin is never a part of God's plan for your life. But God has an amazing way of taking even the horrific things and somehow using them in a way. And I think with Faith's story, when Faith shares her testimony as we go out and speak at conferences or in churches, and Faith shares her testimony, I think the thing that's helped Faith the most is when she can help another survivor who's gone through some bad stuff, and she can say, look, this is how God got me through it. This is how I found healing. So there's nothing good that comes from abuse. And yet somehow God can take the dark things, the difficult things that happened to us, and we can help somebody else out. And that is good. All things work together for good to those that love God, those are called according to his purpose. But here's another one. How about when the journey is too hard? Now, they all kind of, these three kind of weave together, intertwine together. But how about when the journey is too hard? This is a story of Elijah. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to see this. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, as we read this section, we're going to start with verse 3. Elijah's just had one of the greatest victories imaginable. Elijah is a prophet to the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and they're just as wicked as can be. Ahab is the king. He's an idol worshiper. He's married to Jezebel, who's even more wicked than he is. And Elijah's prophesied, and of course, it's done no good. So God sends 3 years of famine, 3 years of drought. Rivers dried up, streams dried up, springs dried up. People are dying, cattle dying. And God finally goes to Elijah and says, go appear before Ahab and I'm going to send rain again. God's going to show mercy even though they were still wicked. You know, God is merciful God. If God had no mercy, there wouldn't be any people left on earth. So Elijah goes and he appears to Ahab and they go up to Mount Carmel. And Ahab and a whole bunch of people from the children of Israel, they all come out for a big showdown. Prophets of Baal come. Jezebel has prophets there. 850 prophets altogether up to the top of Carmel. One prophet of God, Elijah, and all the prophets of Baal and Jezebel all gathered over there. And Elijah does a showdown with two sacrifices. So he takes and starts to prepare his sacrifice. He tells the other group, he says, you guys go first because there's more of you. Get the sacrifice ready and you pray to your God. And whichever God answers by fire, then let him be God. If Baal answers by fire, let him be God. If God answers by fire, let him be God. Big showdown. Prophets of Baal and Jezebel get everything all ready and they start chanting and praying and all their stuff to the idols. Nothing happens. They go on and on and on. They begin to cut themselves in blood. It says gushing out of their bodies because they were cutting themselves, trying to appease these idols and wanting them to pray and answer by fire. And nothing happens. And so finally, it's Elijah's turn. His sacrifice is all ready. And they had some water, king's water, there wouldn't be much left. And they dump water over the sacrifice. He says a simple prayer, and God sends fire down from heaven, consumes the whole thing, gone. Fear comes over everybody there, and they say, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Elijah just had that great victory. And God sent a thundering rain, pouring down rain, and they all make a beeline for the city to get into shelter. And that night, Ahab tells Jezebel what happened. And Jezebel sends a threat back to Elijah. Chapter 19, go down to verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Jezebel said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. He arose and ran for his life, went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Listen, some of the great folks in the Bible got to the point in life where they just said, I wished I could die. There's nothing ungodly or wicked about that. Discouragement is something that hits all of us at times. You see, but Jesus is the answer. I love the sign here we have outside of Corning up on the hill. Christ is the answer. It's the same 2,000 years ago as it is today. He's still the answer. Anyways, he prays that he might die. It is enough now. Now, O Lord, he says, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. He feels like a failure. When you think of Moses, do you think of a failure? No, you think of a mighty man of God. You think of Elijah. Do you think of a failure? No. You think of someone absolutely amazing who got to go to heaven in a chariot of fire. But he feels like a failure. I'm no better than my fathers. Now, let's be honest. There's sometimes you and I feel like failures. Draw near to God. Through prayer, through reading his word, through getting to know him. It's about a relationship with him. But that's the answer. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give rest. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you know about him, you've heard about him. You know, sometimes at funeral services, when I get a chance to do a funeral, I'll talk about, you know, it's easy to, and a lot of people on earth, they think somewhere else out there, there's got to be a God. And they think, well, you know, maybe out there in outer space, maybe there was a God. There's a difference between that, a big difference between that and David in Psalm 23 being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a difference between thinking maybe there's a God out there someplace and being able to say, the Lord is my God. And the difference is a relationship with him, knowing him as your Lord and Savior. Moses had that. Elijah had that, and that's what carried him through. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, God's the answer to it. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy, but God's going to get us through. And the rest that God promises us is coming is what we're looking for. Well, anyways, back to Elijah going through this struggle. Just a couple more verses, and then we'll finish the story. But this is pretty neat. Verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals in a jar of water. A cake baked on the coals. God actually... God or the angel, but actually start a fire and bake the cake for him. Now, it's probably not like a chocolate cake with chocolate frosting like you and I think of today. It's some bread, but it's still pretty cool. He's got a jug of water there. So he ate and drank, he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, said, arise and eat because the journey is what? It's too great for you. See, God understands. And so, and God doesn't just take the storm away. Sometimes he does, right? There's that one song. I love the song. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms what? His child. Sometimes he takes the storm away. He stands up and says, peace be still. And the waves stop and the winds stop and everything's beautiful, calm on the sea. And sometimes he just calms us in the midst of the storm. What he does for Elijah, he doesn't change the circumstances. Jezebel still wants to kill him. She's still going to try to kill him. But he gets rest, he gets food, and he gets water. Then he has a special meeting with God after that. And I love that. He goes to this cave on this special mountain. And he goes inside the cave, and there's wind and violence and a shaking of the earth, and there's fire and all this stuff going on. But it says God wasn't in that. And then finally he goes out, and God comes to him with what? A still, small voice. Sometimes God interacts with us differently than he does others. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes with Job, it was like, powerfully came with the whirlwind, and he declares to Job his glory, and he talks to Job about his creation, and Job, after all the stuff he'd been through, he said, I've heard about you with my ear, but now I see you. Wherefore I repent in dust and ashes. We need to get a fresh glimpse of who God is and how awesome he is and how wonderful he is. And I love the songs about creation sings. God comes to Job at the end of the book of Job. For four chapters, all God does is talk about his creation. Because God's creation is a reflection of who he is. You and I, when we're going through difficult times, we need God the most. We draw near to him. prayer, in His Word, and maybe it's out in creation. But we get a fresh glimpse of who God is, and that will help carry us through those difficult times. Just to close this out, as the praise and worship team comes, I'm just going to remind you, remember the story of Peter and the disciples on the boat, and the storm comes, and Jesus isn't with them. The time Jesus wasn't with them, and the storm comes, and they're afraid, and they think they're going to die. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee there, and it's violent. And then Jesus comes walking on the water. And they see him as like a ghost. I mean, they don't, probably doesn't even cross their mind it might be Jesus. But then he calls to them. And Peter says, if it's you, I mean, you can say what you want about Peter, but that guy's got guts. Okay? He's got guts. If it's you, bid me to come on the water with you. That wouldn't be me. I'd be clutching the seat of the boat and I'm hanging on for dear life. I want to stay right here. If it's really you, let me walk on the water with you. And Jesus said, come on. And he steps out of the boat. Storm's still going. And he starts to walk on the water. He's doing it. But then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he gets that back on the storm. And he starts to sink. Now, I don't know what storms you're going through today. They may have been storms that hit you a long time ago, and you're still reeling from the same storm, right? Abuse is that way. Domestic violence is often that way. Loss is often that way. But the answer is the same. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Let's go ahead and just have a word of prayer. God, our world desperately needs you today. We need you. But I think of the folks today, the young people, our kids' generation, our grandchildren's generations. They're hurting and they're struggling. Many of them have no idea who they are, who you created them to be. They're filled with anxiety and fear. Afraid of tomorrow, afraid of today, afraid of people, afraid of everything. There are people afraid to come to church. God, I pray that you'll give us open doors to reach out and help them to see that you are the answer. There are those that some of us know struggling with thoughts of suicide, wishing they were dead. They may not know you, but maybe they're Christians. Maybe they've served you. Maybe they've served you for many years. But they're still struggling, just like Moses, just like Elijah, just like Job. God, I pray that you'll help get them through those storms. Help us to always remember that you are the answer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.